My dear Lord Nisingadev, I see, that's Prahlad Maharaj speaking, my dear Lord Nisingadev, I see that there are many saintly persons indeed, but they are interested only in their own deliverance, not caring for the big cities and towns. They go to the Himalayas or the forest to meditate with vows of silence, mauna vrata. They are not interested in delivering others. As for me, however, I do not wish to be liberated alone, leaving aside all these poor fools and rascals. I know that without Krishna consciousness, without taking shelter of your lotus feet, one cannot be happy. Therefore, I wish to bring them back to shelter at your lotus feet. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. This is the decision of the Vaishnav, the pure devotee of the Lord. For himself, he has no problems, even if he has to stay in this material world, because his only business is to remain in Krishna consciousness. The Krishna conscious person can go even to hell and still be happy. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj said, Naivo dvije para durachaya vaitaranya. O best of the great personalities, I am not at all afraid of material existence. The pure devotee is never unhappy in any condition of life. This is confirmed in the Srimad Bhagavatam 6:17:28. Narayana parasarve nakutas chana bibhyati svarga pavarga narakeshu apituya tadashinaha. Devotees, solely engaged in the devotional service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan, never fear any condition of life. For them, the heavenly planets, liberation, and the hellish planets are all the same. For such devotees are interested only in the service of the Lord. For a devotee being situated in the heavenly planets and being in the hellish planets are equal. For a devotee lives neither in heaven nor in hell, but with Krishna in the spiritual world. The secret of success for the devotee is not understood by the karmis and jnanis. Karmis therefore try to be happy by material adjustment, and jnanis want to be happy by becoming one with the Supreme. The devotee has no such interest. He is not interested in so-called meditation in the Himalayas or the forest. Rather, his interest is in the busiest part of the world where he teaches people. Krishna consciousness. The Krishna conscious movement was started for this purpose. We do not teach one to meditate in a secluded place just so that one may show that he's become very much advanced and may be proud of his so-called transcendental meditation, although he engages in all sorts of foolish materialistic activities. Vaishnav, like Prahlad Maharaj, is not interested in such a bluff of spiritual advancement. Rather, he's interested in enlightening people in Krishna consciousness, because that is the only way for them to become happy. Prahlad Maharaj says clearly, Nanyam tvat asya sharanam brahmato anupashe. I know that without Krishna consciousness, without taking shelter of your lotus feet, one cannot be happy. One wanders within the universe life after life. But by the grace of a devotee, a servant of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one can get the clue to Krishna consciousness and then not only become happy in this world, but also return home, back to Godhead. That is the target, the real target in life. The members of the Krishna conscious movement are not at all interested in so-called meditation in the Himalayas or the forest, where one only make a show of meditation. Nor are they interested, listen to this, in opening many schools for yoga and meditation in the cities. Rather, every member of the Krishna conscious movement is interested in going door to door to try to convince people about the teachings of Bhagavad Gita as it is, the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. That is the purpose of the Hare Krishna movement. The members of the Krishna conscious movement must be fully convinced that without Krishna one cannot be happy. Thus the Krishna conscious person avoids all kinds of pseudo-spiritualists, transcendentalists, mediators, monists, philosophers, and philanthropists. My dear Lord Asingadev, I see that there are many saintly persons indeed. But they are interested only in their own deliverance, not caring for the big cities and towns. They go to the Himalayas or the forest to meditate with vows of silence. They are not interested in delivering others. As for me, however, I do not wish to liberate it alone, leaving aside all these poor fools and rascals. I know that without Krishna consciousness, without taking shelter of your lotus feet, one cannot be happy. Therefore, I wish to bring them back to the shelter at your lotus feet. Jai. Om Agyanti Maranda Shagyanam Janasalakya Chakshuramiratam Yena Tasmaya Singh. Chaitanya Manubhistam Stapitam Yena Putale Saram Vupakadam Adam Dadati Swapadam Tadam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadara Shivasri Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So we are all sitting here very comfortable, enjoying Krishna consciousness, right? Are able to watch, look at the deities, to chant Hare Krishna here and at our home, to eat prasadam, and do all kinds of things to purify our soul and satisfy our senses at the same time. So, that is nice, that is nice. But better, if you want to please Srila Prabhupada and the whole Guru Parampara and the Lord, either if your Lord is Ram or Krishna or Balaram, if you want to, or Radharani, if you want to please them, then if you go out of your comfort zone into town, your village, door to door, you can go distribute books, you knock on the door, the Jehovah Witnesses are very good in that. You know, they go in groups of two and three and they ring everyone's door, and if they like it or not, and they get abused, you know, like that. Because if you go like Lord Nityananda and Haridas Thakur, they also went door to door. So sometimes they say, oh, Hare Krishna, how wonderful, you know, please come in. Purify our home. But the other says, oh, get lost, you know, get a job and things like that. Or they might throw a bucket of urine on your head like that. You know, everything is possible. So so going on Sankirtan, it's you please the Lord by giving Krishna to others, but it also helps you by becoming really humble. Because, and tolerant, because not everyone is nice outside, unfortunately. You know, if you say, please take a book, oh yes, can I have a few more? No, very, very rarely, it says. You know, sometimes, you know, they push you aside, even if you're on Harinam, they go like this, get lost. Even on Harinam, you know, they threw rotten tomatoes when we're on the market, or even buckets of water or other substances on her head, if you used to pass that house every single day, you know, like that. And if you go on Sankirtan, distribute books, then you get really, then the Lord becomes extra, extra pleased, because the Lord misses us more than we miss him. And a sign of a devotee, if you mature in devotional service, is that you become compassionate. So Srila Prabhupada, one time, the story has been told many times, but it's so beautiful. It's, one time he was driving to a preaching engagement, or from a preaching engagement, and it was like maybe the Christmas time or whatever, so the shops were open. And he saw all the non-devotees, and maybe a few devotees, watching, looking in the windows, in the window displays, you know, the mannequins with the latest dresses or the biggest television or this, all these new things which are like, if I buy this, then I will be happy, they will think. If I buy that dress, then I will be attractive. If I get that hairstyle. Like that. And Prabhupada, by seeing that, tears flew from his, fell from his eyes. His mother, Asashaki, who was there in the car, she said, Prabhupada, have we offended you? What, have you done something wrong? He says, no. I said, but what? I was just looking at his people, you know. I was looking at his people and, you know, it just touched me, he said. So, it might be difficult to go out, each one of you, on the street. It might be too much. But then there's different ways. You can also get a few books from here and buy them and give them as present to your neighbors, maybe, for Christmas. Or for birth. Just give it. One godfather of mine, he has books, got a garage. He carries books all the time, small booklets. And then even, you know, he says when he's in the airport and he's like 20 kgs overweight in Dubai or anywhere, he gives them a little book and they go like like that. So it's only not spiritually benefiting, also material benefiting. It'll save you lots of money. You know, if someone gives you a fine for your car or anything. So, but, and sometimes you give someone a book and they're not really interested. They say, oh, thank you very much. And they put it on the bookshelf. But then many, many years later, their child or their grandchild, comes in the place or comes at their place. And, you know, sees the book. So Prabhupada says these books are like bombs. Bombs, that's the word, right? And a bomb has a tendency to explode. In Holland and in France and in Belgium, in many places, there are many still mines. And after the war, people, you know, they go with a mine detector. But sometimes the whole city is on alert because under someone's house, when they broke it down, they found something like a big bomb or whatever. So like that. So it will explode one day. So the person who gets your book might not read it, but maybe later on, when that person might be sick or depressed, and maybe at that time ready for Krishna consciousness, then Krishna from within the heart, he guides them to the bookshelf. There's a story, sometimes you meet, it's been told because I listen to the classes in general on my Putivi, because I want to repeat it now on Sunday for all of you. One time, a small Mataji, she was very short and very angelic, really angelic god sister of mine. She used to go on trains. You can not only go on the street, but you can also go to offices or shops, door to door, you know, like that. You can do all kinds of ways. So she used to go jump on the trains, on the metros, or whatever. And there was this one man, and either he was in a bad mood or whatever. You know, he was very rude to her. And he took the Gita and he tore it to bits. I think it was Gita, but I'm not sure. Was it the Gita? The Krishna book. He tore it to bits. So later on, his wife, and when he came home, he showed his wife, look, this Hare Krishna, they tried to get me, but look what I've done with the book. Really proud of it. And then, you know, he threw it away, like he put it away then. But then he has a cleaning lady who saw that broken book, and he thought, oh, let me fix it. So she fixed it and put it on the bookshelf. So many years later, in the meantime, his wife had died. And somewhere or other, he found the book back. And then he opened the book, and it caught him. And then he realized, what he had done. So he went to the temple, and he says, you know, and he became actually interested in Krishna consciousness. And then he told the story that, you know, he had given the book, and he tore it apart, and they found out the Mataji. Hare Krishna. And he excused himself to her. So like that, so even demonic personalities can become saintly, because more or less we were all a little more demonic. I remember when I used to see, when I was young, about 22 years old, then in the street you had many different sects on the street. The Guru Maharajis, you know, he was a little fat Indian boy of 12 years old, and his mother had proclaimed him to be God, and he wore a peacock. His pictures were had a peacock on his head, and he was ugly as hell. But and later on, his mother denounced him and made him brother, the incarnation of Krishna. And then you had the Jesus people. Jesus loves you. And the Hare Krishnas. And I used to go in between all of them, skipping them all. And I used to sometimes, when I was in the disco, I'm like, Hare Krishna, making fun of them. And I read my magazine, the first magazine. I didn't buy it. I saw it in a coffee shop. Not one of those coffee shops, another coffee shop. We didn't have coffee shops at that time. And I read it, and I thought, at that time I was very interested in spiritual life, but not looking for God. I was interested in why I was alive, because at that time all my material desires which I had when I was like 18, 19, they were fulfilled when I was 22. And then I was frustrated, because I thought there must be something more. I was really frustrated. Then I read a book about Buddha. And then I thought, because he had everything in full. You know, I just mind it. And he was happy, handsome, rich, married, king, prince, everything he had. And I thought, wow. So now I'm going to find out why I'm alive. Like, you know, so I found out. I'm reading. I saw nectar. And then I come to the conclusion that we're just inside a little bit of energy going floating around. And then I became very depressed. So depressed, suicidal. For 3 days I was so depressed. I thought, how can I, who like to have interesting conversations, who like to sing and to dance and to joke around, how can I be just inside being bzzz? Then my outside is much more interesting than my inside, I thought. So I became very, very depressed. And then I was ready. And then I had a temple 5 minutes away from where I lived. And I was buying my groceries, and then Hare Krishna passed by, and she said, oh, they're very nice, they have a nice Sunday feast. I went there last week, and they get people off drugs. And I thought, oh, man. But anyway, on Sunday afternoon, I was always bored. Sunday afternoon, you know, there's nothing to do. And so I thought, let me go there one time. So at that time, the temple, you know, if you look at the Krishna book, these old pictures of the Krishna book, you see this Krishna, his palace with the arches, with the flowers. Our temple was like that. It was decorated by Surabhi, who later was the architect of the Bombay and the Vrindavan temple. But the temple was quite kind of hippie-ish. You know, the walls were bright yellow and the floors were white. And we had Jagannath, which I thought, because I was not looking for God, you know. I thought that was, you know, a very abstract representation. But they were very attractive because the juggernauts of Amsterdam, they're now in Rotterdam, unfortunately. They are so beautiful, you know, they're so beautiful. Just with material eyes looking at them, they're such huge smiles and they're glowing like anything. So I was interested in Krishna consciousness. Not in Krishna consciousness, but I was interested in knowledge. So I like the smell of the incense. I love the chanting. I love the prasadam. At that time, the Sunday feast consisted of 10 course meals and puris and samosas, two kinds of shabji, shak paneer, the with the brown balls in it, the kaftas, pakoras and puris, sweet rice and halva. And we were eating up till there. Like Mother Kishori, if one of you know, she's a French devotee, she's an expert cook. And there's stories of her with Prabhupada, which are quite funny. Anyway, so till what time is the class? 9, okay. Where was I? Okay, so the prasadam was nice. And then there were some good, I had questions after the class, you know, and I said, you know, because I was not into God. You know, for me, people generally who were religious, they were kind of boring, especially when I was young. You know, they go on Sunday to the church and they're not hip. They're not cool, most of them at that time. So I thought, if God exists, you know, why is there hunger in Biafra? And, you know, why is there war? And why is this happening? And then he was explaining that it's not God who does that. It's just that we suffer or enjoy the results of our previous activities. And because of our previous activities, certain souls are put in a certain place. Those souls which have wasted food, which have eaten a bite and throw half of the thing away, etc., always in the garbage. And they are placed in the next birth in a place where there will be hunger. Altogether, they have a collective karma. Or they have a collective karma to be bare where there's a war going on. They all have the free will to go out of the war zone, if they manage. But if their destiny is to end in a concentration camp, they will end up in a concentration camp. My family ended up, I'm partially Jewish and German and Dutch. And my grandfather moved. My grandfather was not Jewish, my grandmother was Jewish, so they moved from Germany, or they came to Holland. But then they ended up, I don't know if they ended up, but my father ended up in Indonesia. But then the Japanese came there, and my mother ended up being in the concentration camp with my two eldest brothers, and my father was working on the Burma railway track. So if you're destined to suffer, it will come to you. You can try to escape it, but it will catch hold of you. And yeah, it's not funny. It's really heavy, but it's like that. But we have our intelligence to move a place. And then if it's your karma, because Krishna gives you intelligence, you're free like that. But if you really have to suffer a certain thing, you can get away from it. Is that clear to you? Does it make sense? Yeah. So God. So he didn't explain it that elaborate. I'm doing that now. But so then I said, okay. Then I understood. Okay, there's a God, and then I became a devotee. So then I said, I was actually on my way to India to a forest on my platform shoes to go forest to find out why I was alive. And then the devotee very cheekily said, well, now you've found what you're looking for. Now you don't have to go to India anymore. Why don't you move in the temple? Then I thought, okay. So I moved in the temple. And then I wanted to go to India. I said, well, actually, you can't buy a ticket to Vrindavan. You know, Krishna will arrange for it. And it took me till 1981 till I got my ticket to Vrindavan. So like that. Anyway, so it's time.